First, Racine's request to divert water from Lake Michigan for the coming Foxconn plant has been getting some pushback. It's coming from environmental advocates and some members of the public. One of the main sticking points is whether the water will be largely for public or private industrial use. Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org, and he dives into that question in a new piece for the site that's out tomorrow. Scott, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, remind us about, before we get into the legal particulars, just give us the basics of this request in Racine to divert extra water and send it to Foxconn and affiliated facilities.
Right. So Racine is asking for permission to send up to 7 million gallons per day of Lake Michigan water to the Foxconn site and a nearby adjacent industrial area that'll be related to that. And that site straddles the line of the Great Lakes Basin, which is what makes it interesting and, kind of hairy from a legal and regulatory perspective.
And we've talked about the Great Lakes Compact and this before and that whole basin issue. The focus of your new piece here, and one thing that people are raising as a concern, is we're drawing water here not for public residential use. We're drawing it for a particular industrial use. And it sounds like there's a lot of gray area in the Great Lakes Compact for that.
Right. It seems like one of those things that people haven't really hashed out through the courts or through, administrative disputes or what have you. The language in the Great Lakes Compact says that you can do this if it's for public water supply purposes, and it defines public water supply purposes as being largely for residential customers with, industrial and commercial things mixed in. So the question becomes, does this really qualify as that when, the entirety of this diversion in the application, at least right now, is for the Foxconn facility and related industrial and commercial things? They're not saying in the application anywhere that it's for residences out there. Something could theoretically kind of spring up out there as it develops, of course, but that really isn't part of the equation right now, it seems.
Want to key in on that one key word here, largely residential customers. That is a vague word. There are no percentages or numbers attached to it, right?
In the compact, there's no language that puts a number on what constitutes largely residential. And the argument that Racine is making, essentially, is that even when you factor in all this industrial water use that this diversion would create, their entire service area is still largely residential. And I mean, that's true in terms of whether you're looking at it in terms of gallons or sheer number of individual customers. But the specific area they want to send water to outside the Great Lakes Basin, they're not saying there's any residential component to that.
So it depends on how you slice it when you look at this. If you say, okay, Racine wants extra water, some of it's going to this new corporate thing, but as a whole, it's still mostly residential. If you say, let's look at this new request from Racine and where it's going, it's not at all residential. Is that right?
That's correct. So it's not only, it's not largely, it's no residential, but they're kind of arguing, well, there's this broader aggregate thing that makes it largely residential.
I want to come back to a point we've talked about before. With the Waukesha diversion, because of the technicalities, the whole Great Lakes Compact, in a way, had to weigh in on it. Because of the technicalities, the basin issue, right, the state of Wisconsin gets to make its own decision here.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's a large amount of enforcing the Great Lakes Compact that is delegated to the eight Great Lakes states that ratified this agreement. And so the situation that Racine and Foxconn are in is a bit different from the one that Waukesha was in. Waukesha is a city that's entirely outside the Great Lakes drainage basin, which means it had to go through a whole different process, whereas something that straddles the basin line, you still have to get approval, but it's not considered quite as extraordinary, and it's reviewed on more of a state regulatory level.
Talking to Scott Gordon from WisContext about Foxconn, Racine, and a water diversion request, drawing water from Lake Michigan for the big planned new facility. One point you raised in your piece, Scott, that I thought was really interesting is, in legal terms, this is really new, and there's a lot of uncharted territory here when it comes to the Great Lakes Compact.
That's correct. I mean, you have to remember this is something that was finalized in 2008 when, Congress and then President George W. Bush kind of put their stamp of approval on it after the individual states ratified it. Obviously, it was the product of, a process and a long-running debate about how do we protect this resource and maintain it, who should be allowed to access it and under what terms. But in those 10 years, there hasn't been that much of a chance to kind of really chew it over and for people to hash out how some of the specifics work. You know, it's not one of those issues where you go back and have tons and tons of case law or whatever to light the way. And that's part of the reason that Waukesha was such a big deal, because it was considered precedent setting, and people were very concerned that that be carried out in a way that would set what they thought were good precedents. And, this, in a way, this might also be precedent setting, depending on what happens.
And you write that other states in the compact have been looking at this. They may not have say so over it, but what are you hearing from other states right now?
New York and Illinois have both chimed in, one through their attorney general's office and the other through their state level environmental regulator. And New York has specifically raised the question, I think, of how does this qualify as public water supply purposes? And they're saying right now that they haven't officially come out objecting to it, but clearly the questions sort of set the stage for how they might object to it in the future.
And Michigan, I think, had also been looking at it. I don't know if they've raised particular questions yet.
Yeah, I did talk briefly with Michigan's kind of representative to the Compact Council, a guy that Rick Snyder has kind of appointed as his proxy. And he said they were looking at it. I don't know at the moment. Forgive me, Rob. I'm not sure if they've staked out a position on it quite yet or not.
Gotcha. And now this is uncharted ground. It seems possible that someone, a citizen or another state, could in theory take this to courts and challenge this idea of largely residential use in this public utility. I won't ask you to predict how that would play in the courts, but hypothetically somebody could try that.
Right. Under the Great Lakes Compact, if someone has a grievance with something that one of the parties to the compact is doing with Great Lakes Water, they can challenge that through sort of an administrative process that the compact sets up, dealing with the representatives of each of the eight states. And if that doesn't lead to a resolution, then it can go to court. So it is, it's entirely possible that if DNR approves this, and it seems likely that they will, we're not really in a climate where the state is going to suddenly turn around and not give Foxconn what it's asking for. I think that'd be extraordinary at this point. And so it is likely that someone could actually kind of come and argue that this is illegal under the compact, and that it could kind of blow up into a longer dispute. I mean, obviously, I can't necessarily predict that will happen, but if you look at kind of the conditions that are being created, they're sort of ripe for this to maybe turn into a more drawn out conflict.
In your piece in WisContext, you said some of the people who lined up in favor of the Waukesha diversion, they're also on board with Foxconn and also consistent on the other side. But you ended your piece talking to someone who was a big supporter of the Waukesha diversion, a big opponent of the Foxconn diversion. What were some of the points he was splitting there?
Yeah, that's John Skalbeck, who is a geosciences professor at UW Parkside. And I actually saw him kind of talk in support of the Waukesha diversion at an environmental journalism conference last year. And when he finished his remarks, somebody from the Waukesha Water Utility said, he doesn't work with us, we swear, kind of because he was so supportive that he can't. But in the public comments that were submitted, he actually chimed in and said that he opposed the Foxconn water diversion specifically because of the whole public water supply purposes issue. He feels that violates the spirit of what the compact is about, to take all that water for more or less the use of one company.
And concerns here as we wrap up, just as people watched Waukesha for precedent setting, they're going to be watching Foxconn for precedent.
Absolutely. And, it's also in a climate where people are really worked up about the Nestle bottled water situation in Michigan. And I think kind of all these things are combining to make people really concerned about what's happening with the Great Lakes, what kind of policy we're making about it. It's a water resource that's so vast that people would have to screw up a whole lot of stuff to really meaningfully endanger it. But you know, but there is a lot of concern about what it means when someone's allowed to send water outside of the basin at that scale for what's essentially a, you know, a big publicly traded for-profit operation.
Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. He was with us to talk about legal issues surrounding Racine's water diversion plan for the soon-to-come Foxconn plant. You can read the story on their website tomorrow and find more reporting on Foxconn and economic development in Wisconsin at wiscontext.org.